So in any case, I just want to get two responses. Why do you think leadership is important? Two responses. Who'd like to volunteer? Okay.
Leadership puts you a step ahead of others.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're a leader, you find yourself that all these people look up to you.
Yes.
So because they look up to you, you've got to do things faster, think faster, act faster, and always be a step ahead of others.
Great. Excellent. Thank you. Okay, and one more. Yes.
Leadership. Direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So we need direction. And leadership is incredibly important when we think about our work as Christian leaders in the world. You know, when I think about, you know, why is leadership important for the Christian, immediately something that comes to mind for me is the Great Commission. You know, that Jesus invited us, called us, in fact, commissioned us to go out and make disciples of all nations. Well, disciples involves leadership, people following us, showing them the way. And in order to fulfill the Great Commission, in order to renew our cultures, renew our societies, renew the families around us, we need strong leadership. We need leadership that's founded on character, leadership that helps move things forward, as you guys described it. There's a wonderful statement that I heard once that is, everybody wins when a leader gets better. Everybody wins when a leader gets better. So I share all these things as well, too. You know, in my own passion for leadership, leadership is critical to renewing our culture, renewing our society, and for fulfilling the Great Commission. But also for me, more at a personal level, leadership is really, I love leadership because I have a great hunger and love for wisdom. In fact, when I read the scriptures, it's the book of Proverbs and the wisdom literature that really moves my heart. God has placed within me a real personal love for this. He's also given me a heart of service, to want to help others. And service is, I think, another really important aspect of leadership. Trying to move something forward for the sake of not my own gains, but for others. So there's all these different elements that we could come together and we think about why leadership is important. And so if leadership is important, then it's equally important that we think about how can we grow as a leader. And that's really what my topic today is. Because I believe that leaders must be learners. And, of course, we can think about that in life, in our particular professional fields, in our particular family situations or others. But in the area specific to leadership, when we think about leadership, that we need to grow as leaders. We need to learn and get better. And one of the things I want to share with you, I think, are the three most significant ways that we can grow as leaders. The three key ways that we can grow as leaders. Categories of growth. And I hope some of these things will help you to grow as a leader. And as we get into this, I want you to come with a certain frame of reference. I want you to be, if you're taking notes or you're thinking about this, I don't want you to think about this only for yourself, but I actually want you to think about someone that you're going to see next week. Maybe it's a family member, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's someone. I want you to think about someone you're going to see next week, and I actually want you to be able to transmit what I'm sharing to them. I've structured it in a way that I think is pretty simple for you to do that. So I want you to take notes or think about it in such a way that you'll be able to teach them. Does that make sense? So right now, okay. Yeah. So you know, in a sense, I'm kind of inviting you to be a teacher today, to prepare to be a teacher for next week. All right. So here we go. Let's get started right into this. So there are three primary ways that one can learn leadership, as I mentioned, and I'm going to kind of put them down here. The first one is through experience, direct experience. All right. The second one is through wise counsel. And the third way we can learn in leadership is through study. Through study. Experience, wise counsel, and study. And I'm going to go into depth in each of these areas. Let's focus in on the first point, direct personal experience. So if you want to be a leader, if you want to learn or grow as a leader, it's really as simple as picking something and leading. Kind of get in the game, get out there and get in the game. And in fact, one of my very first learning leadership opportunities, actually came from a failed leadership bid. a failed leadership bid. So I was in my last year of high school, and I decided that I would run for the student council president. A few friends of mine came together, and we formed a small party, campaign party. And we started promoting our ideas. In fact, believe it or not, we even put together this swing dance routine that we performed in front of the entire school, somehow to draw attention to our campaign. I was running against only one other candidate for this particular position, and I thought I had a pretty good shot at it. I was quite athletic, involved in sports teams, strong academically. I knew a lot of people, and I thought I had good ideas. But when it came to the election day, and when the results were in fact, I had lost the election. I had lost the election. A few days later, the student council started, and I was offered an opportunity to sit as a member at large. So, you know, there was the key executive was elected, but then they had other positions that they filled by appointment. And so I faced a decision. Having lost the election, I could choose to nurse my wounds in defeat, or I could accept the invitation of my competitor and offer my skills for the betterment of the school. I accepted that council appointment, and in fact, we accomplished a significant number of things that year, which were a number of my own ideas. Several of them came through my own influence. So what did I learn from that failed leadership bit? Well, I learned that you can actually lead in many different ways, not necessarily from being in the number one position. You can lead from different ways. I wasn't the school president, yet I was able to influence and help people adopt my ideas and move them forward. And I also learned that authentic leadership really involves the virtue of humility, the willingness to serve and to accomplish great things without the accolades is really at the heart of a virtuous leader, a humility. There's a saying that, you know, so much can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit. So much can be accomplished when we don't care who gets the credit. So I also learned that leadership involves perseverance, that I needed to continue to step out and to be willing to lead even though I had failed in the past. I could have easily kind of been burned and said, oh, I lost that election. I'm not going to try again. No, leadership involves perseverance. And now I've been gifted with the opportunity to serve as the president of CCO. So even though I lost the presidency of the school election, now I'm the president of CCO. So I'm thankful to God that I continued in that perseverance. Now, sometimes, I'm going to draw this one out here. When we think about these leadership opportunities, sometimes opportunities for leadership come to you and they're welcomed.
So let's do this here. There's you or me. All right, so sometimes leadership opportunities come to us and they're welcome. Right? Green arrow, nice.
You know, sometimes this is where, like, perhaps a supervisor or someone on one of our ministry teams presents an opportunity to us and that you would love to do. Oh, I'd just love to be involved in a project like that. I'd love to lead something like that. Matches your desires, your passions. You throw yourself into it. But sometimes leadership opportunities come that are less welcome.
Like this, red one.
Sometimes we find ourselves in situations where there's a crisis. There's a crisis that's occurring, and you think to yourself, this isn't what I signed up for. Man, I don't want to be here. This isn't what I thought this was all about. But these are still both opportunities to grow and learn as a leader. They're opportunities, if we embrace them, that we can grow and learn. But there's a third thing that can more often than not happen, and that is where leaders need to take initiative. In fact, I believe that leaders truly are initiators. It's a sign of a leader to be an initiator. Stepping up to offer one's service as a leader will be in itself a school of learning. But it's not only for big projects or alumni associations or things like this. It's even in small moments of leadership. Seeing someone's need, seeing a situation of need, and stepping up to offer help. Stepping up to offer help. Seeing a problem and lending your support to try and fix that problem. That is a moment of leadership. So to be a leader requires us to exercise the virtue of courage. We have to be courageous. It's easy to just leave things as they are and let someone else deal with those problems. But true leaders, virtuous leaders, see and seize opportunities. If true leaders see, they see it, they recognize something, and they seize. They grab hold of. They hang on to. They exercise a magnanimous response by taking a risk, taking courageous initiative. And it's in this initiative, it's in the stepping out, even when we aren't sure if we know exactly what to do, that they learn to become a great leader, that you learn to become a great leader. So the principle here, this first one, if we could summarize it all down, it's basically this. If you want to grow as a leader, lead something. Lead something. Don't just stand on the sidelines. Get in the game. I'm sure many of you have undertaken this and are doing this right now. But as you think about those that you're teaching or those that you're helping to grow as leaders, that's where your encouragement needs to come as well. Take a step. Do something. Find something. Through direct experience, we're going to learn how to lead. All right, so that's the first one. The second one is an area that I love, through the wise counsel of others. We can learn leadership. We can learn to be better leaders through wise counsel of others, those who've gone before us. We can learn what they've learned. We can learn from their mistakes. We can often learn, actually, things more quickly than we can through our own direct experience. We can uptake everything that they've experienced and apply it in our own lives. And wise counsel, I think, comes in the form of leadership mentors. These are people that we admire in different areas of life, work, family, faith, community. And in a sense, they're people that embody the leadership characteristics, the leadership virtues, the leadership traits that we would want to embody. We look up to them. There are many ways that mentors can influence us and we can learn from them, but I want to list two here.
I want to share with you two of them. So put here, wise counsel, mentors.
The first one is what I'm going to call the rub-off factor. The rub-off factor. So spending time with great people, spending time around great leaders, impacts your own leadership ability. It just simply, as I title it, rubs off. You don't even need to talk to them or ask them a particular thing. It just rubs off. That's why the best athletes train with other athletes who are better than them. Just being in their very presence, being in that culture, in that area, it grows you. It pulls you. It makes you better than you are. It elevates your leadership. It almost unconsciously pushes you beyond your own natural boundaries. So the simple part of this is basically, surround yourself with great people. Put yourself in the presence of great leaders. Spend time with people that are great leaders. So it's just rubbing off. The second one, though, which relates, you can flow out of this one as well, is what I'm going to call the experience download. Experience download. Experience download. So experienced leaders have a wealth of information that can be helpful also and informative. It's not just spending time with them, but actually talking with them. And you can go out of your way to create opportunities to download it through personal conversations. For example, you can identify a leader that you admire, and you can invite them. You can ask them, hey, could we go for coffee, or could we meet over lunch, or could I come to your office for an hour and ask you questions about your leadership. It might be in their particular area of expertise, or it might be just in general what they've learned. I'm going to give you some questions that might be applicable for this type of area, but you could easily start this by making a list of 5 to 10 leaders that you think that you admire, and just start arranging to connect with them. This is one of the ways that I've just been most impacted personally in my own leadership. I've identified people both that I know already. So, for example, older men who are great fathers that I admire. And I sat down with them and I said, what did you do to be a great dad? How did you raise your kids? What are the kinds of things that worked well with your kids? What lessons did you learn? Or other leaders in ministry, but also people that I don't know so well. So there's a person that I admired in Canada and that I recently contacted who is the Canadian Ambassador for Religious Freedom. So he basically is appointed by the Canadian government to go around the world to foreign countries and advocate for religious freedom, which is one of Canada's values, that people should be free to practice their faith in their country. So he would go into Middle Eastern countries all over the place and advocate for this value. So he's also a Christian. He's an Eastern Catholic. And so I thought, wow, there must be some really interesting experiences and insights that he had. So what did I do? I sent him an email. And I just said, I'd love to meet you and just ask you about your experience of leadership. And here's some of the questions that I asked him. What are some of the most valuable principles that have guided your leadership? What character traits do you think are most important to develop as a leader and why? What was one of the biggest leadership challenges that you've ever faced? What did you learn? How did it change you? So I asked him all these questions and I gained a tremendous amount of insight. Years and decades of insight distilled into 60 minutes that I can now grab onto. I downloaded his experience and now I can apply my own leadership. I can apply my own life. So what I'm saying here is ask great questions. Go ahead, get curious, and approach leaders from all walks of life to download their wisdom. And you'd be surprised. You know, some people say, wow, I don't know this person. But you'd be surprised when they get an email or a call from a young person. They say, I'm a young leader and I want to ask you about your leadership. They generally have loads of time. You know, they can be the busiest person, but it's unique. Nobody does that. So you'll find some very surprising responses. So the second way that I want to put up here, I mentioned mentors. So those are leadership mentors. A second concept that we can think about in wise counsel is something that I call a personal board of directors. Board of directors. Now, boards have many purposes, but at the heart of what is a board, it's basically the idea of having a group of people with various abilities and perspectives who care about a common mission and who can offer collective insight that's greater than a single person could, offering these things together. So the concept of a personal board of directors means identifying some people who are available to you as a leader with whom you can bounce ideas off of. You know, such a board might include trusted friends, family, a spouse, a spiritual director. It's basically people who love you, people who know you, people who have your best interests in mind. It's not per se a formal group that meets quarterly to examine your financial statements, that type of a thing. But rather, it's a list of people whom you completely trust, who you can be transparent with, and they have no other agenda other than your well-being. So they might offer you encouragement in one situation, or they might offer you a gentle reprimand in another situation. Their motives are sincere and they value you and you trust their insight. So a personal board of directors, this kind of concept, can help a leader to cultivate virtue and can help ensure that they're being honest and consistent in the way that they're leading. All leaders have blind spots, areas of weakness or areas of vice that are not readily apparent to them. A personal board of directors can help protect a leader from a minor slip-up or a catastrophic mistake. They offer their wise counsel and perspective that informs you even more. So cultivating wisdom, which is this area, wise counsel, cultivating wisdom, is an important task for any leader. And you know, the ancients, our forefathers, really knew this well. As I mentioned, they summarized it in the book of Proverbs. So for example, Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with wise men and you will become wise. Proverbs 27:17, As iron sharpens iron, so man sharpens his fellow man. Or Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may become wise. So use the wealth of human resources around you and invest in wise counsel. If you invest in wise counsel, you will become a better leader. All right, the third area in this area, study. Now, there is a wealth of information out there and so many options when it comes to leadership resources. There are books, there are videos, there are websites, there are audio presentations, there's blogs, there's podcasts, email subscriptions, executive summaries, smartphone apps. There's all kinds of stuff out there. Actually, at the time, just before, when I was preparing this, I searched on Google for the word leadership. So if you want to read all the hits on Google on leadership, there are 479 million unique web hits, web pages that have the word leadership associated with it. 479 million. That's a lot. In North America, we have a book service, a subscription book service for called Amazon.com. You can go on the internet and order books. Again, if you search for leadership, you'll discover that there are over 120,000 books just on Amazon that you could order. And I'm happy to say that I've read them all so that I could tell you all their information. No, I haven't read them all. 120,000 books on leadership is a huge amount of information. So in many ways, it's incredible. We live in an information age. It's incredible that we have so much information available to us. But in other ways, it's incredibly overwhelming. How do you sort through all this information? And it can cause a leader to avoid the study of leadership altogether. Where do I start? There's just so much stuff, I don't know where to start. So they set aside this time to invest in personal formation. Now, of course, every person, every leader has a different learning style. And it's important for you to understand what your learning style is so that you can kind of align different resources to that. But in this pursuit, there are two key questions that I wanted to speak about today in this whole area of study. How do I study leadership? And So the first one is, how do I choose what to study, right? With all this stuff out there, how do I choose?
That's the first question. Choose. What to choose.
And the second question is, how do I ensure that I retain what I've learned? I retain it. Because that's important. You can read all sorts of things. If you don't retain it, what use is it? So how do I promote retention? So, to answer this first question, of course, common sense dictates the first starting point. If you want to, you're thinking about where do I start, what do I choose, start with what are you interested in? What aspect of leadership are you interested in? Or what leadership difficulty are you encountering right now? Maybe right now you're having a challenging situation in conflict resolution. Find some leadership resource on conflict resolution. Where are you at right now? If you're really stuck, you can find another leader, and you can ask them what they might recommend. I publish a leadership blog, and one of the pages that I have, and at the end I'll give you the site, but at the end I have a list of recommended books that I've read through that I think are the cream of the crop in particular areas. And so if you're interested in, well, where do I start, that's a great place too. Those are things that I would certainly recommend. So you can get that there. But there's another lens that I want to help to share about when we view this whole thing of where do I start, where do I begin. And it's something I want to share with you called the cultivation quadrant.
Let's step it over here. Cultivation quadrant.
Now, in leadership, we can think of it in different ways. The first way we can think about leadership, or we can subdivide leadership, is we need to be able to lead ourselves and we need to be able to lead others. Right? In order to lead other people, you need to lead yourself first. So first of all, we have to think about, okay, we have to lead ourselves and then we have to lead others. Another way of saying this or speaking about this is you've got private leadership, private, and you've got public leadership. Right? So we've got to lead ourselves, we've got to lead others.
But there's another dimension to thinking about how leadership is organized. And that is there are different dimensions here between what I would call the character of a leader and the competencies of a leader. The character of a leader, character is really who you are, right? Character is who you are. Competency is what you do. It's more the technical skills. So character is who a leader is. That's who a leader is. Competencies, or the technical dimensions of leadership, are what a leader does. What a leader does. Now, when we think about this, I'll just explain this quickly here. When we think about, you've got character elements. You've got character elements that deal with leading ourselves. Typically, when we think of those things, we can classically call them the virtues, the cardinal virtues, right? Prudence, fortitude, temperance, and justice. These are things that are especially helpful for cultivating our own character. But there are a whole host of other virtues that apply. But the cardinal virtues, the hinge virtues, are here. I'll just put here, cardinal virtues, CV. But there are also specific virtues related to character of a leader. Magnanimity and humility. You know, the desire for great things, the desire to see great things accomplished, and a desire to serve others. A desire to serve others. And also for the Christian leader, of course, we've got, covering both these dimensions, the theological virtues: faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. So this is all who a leader is. On here we've got these leadership competencies. There's all kinds of competencies, technical leadership things, leading ourselves. Things like time management, balance of life, priority management. You know, there's systems and things like that that help us to lead ourselves. I'll just put here like PM for time management, one of those things that help us to lead ourselves. It's a competency, what we do. There's also technical competencies in leadership for leading others, like how to run a great meeting, or conflict resolution, or casting vision, or giving a great speech. These are all things that you can work on to grow at, in a technical dimension of a leader. Why do I put all this, and why do I take a little bit of time here to do this? Well, the reason I want to share this with you is because this becomes a lens to think about, what am I choosing? Which area of the quadrant, which quadrant am I developing? Am I developing my character for leading myself? Am I developing my character in leading others? Am I working on a competency for leading myself or others? And one of the things I venture to suggest is that a lot of stuff is out there in these kind of technical competencies. You know, you'll be a great leader if you learn how to shake hands with a person. If you shake hands in the right way, you're gonna win people and influence them. But sometimes leaders ignore this character dimension. So they try to develop all these techniques of leadership, and they forget about the character. So this is a lens for you to examine when you're choosing what you're going to, what kind of resources to study. Which quadrant does this fit? Which quadrant am I growing? And am I balanced? Because all leaders need all of these things. They need to put a foundation of character in place, but they also need to work and grow their competencies. We need all of these, and they need to be worked on. So anyways, that's a little kind of aside, I guess, in a way. The second one I wanted to speak to was this notion of retention. You know, how do I retain what I've studied and what I would apply? And in this area, the best thing that I've seen in my experience with leaders, training leaders and my own leadership, is something called the three-person teaching, which was researched and validated in a number of different ways. Essentially, it says this, that your retention and application skyrocket when you are required to immediately teach others what you've learned. When you are required to immediately teach others what you've learned, the brain actually processes information differently. So let's say we've got me here. Okay, I'm teaching you something today. Here's you. And here's someone else. Here's that person that at the start of this talk I asked you to. You remember that person? Who's that person you're going to share this with? That you're going to think about? So I'm teaching you today. And then next week, you're going to teach them. Well, if you're immediately required to teach something, your retention will be skyrocketing. It will be as highest ever. And like I said, there are numerous studies that have been done that demonstrate this. So practically, it might mean, as you're growing leadership, having a few leaders come together, and you each read a different book, and then you teach each other.
Or it might mean that you have a weekly time where you're downloading your information to your family or your if you have a staff that you're managing or a core group. It might mean that every week you say, I just want to tell you guys in 5 minutes something I've been learning. If you put yourself in a position where you have to teach someone what you're learning, you will retain it substantially. And you'll achieve tremendous results. So the study of leadership is really a discipline that requires a virtue of temperance or self-control and self-mastery. It's a little bit like physical exercise. The more regular that you do it, it becomes a part of your lifestyle, and it actually has a positive impact on all different parts of your well-being. It doesn't just make you a better leader for that position you're leading. If you're a better leader, everything about your life improves. You're a better spouse. You're a better co-worker. You're a better member of the parish. You just grow. Everybody wins when a leader gets better. So what we find is that as you build this into your life, it becomes also an automatic discipline. You become hungry for leadership. You see it out there. You don't have to force yourself. It's a little bit, again, like exercise. If you really build the habit of exercise into your life, it's just a part of who you are. And so you're giving yourself those opportunities. So those are, one of the places that might be helpful for you is the blog that I've published or that I put out. I have a number of leadership articles there. The things that I'm saying today are also published there. But I put up usually a post every week. And what I try to do is to make it a quick thought that can be summarized, that can be read in about 5 minutes on a different aspect of virtuous leadership. But also that book list is there and all those things. All right. So the website that you can use is Jeff Locker, that's my name, .com. Okay, JeffLocker.com. There's lots of different resources there. I created that about a year ago because I just found I wanted to have a place that I could land all of these things that could be easily accessible for leaders. It's a free site. There's like nothing to buy there or anything like that. I just want to be able to share this information with people. And like I said, weekly I publish a new post on something. So right now I'm thinking about what I'll write tomorrow to publish about my experience here in Uganda and how it relates to leadership. So there we have it, these 3 points. So to quickly review, the first way you can learn to be a better leader is through? The second way is through?
Wise.
And the third way?
Study.
Study, exactly. So let's pick up. Do you remember where we were? Where were we? At the top of the hill. Just finished 18 kilometers. Top of the hill. I was feeling fantastic. Right? No, I was not feeling fantastic. I was feeling regretful that I had signed up to run this race. No, I was hurting. My legs were getting sore. So, you know, I was looking at my watch, and one of the goals I had set was I wanted to finish this 21.1 kilometers in less than 2 hours, or in 2 hours. That was what I was training for, a two-hour time. And so I looked at my watch, and I'm like, oh, man, I'm barely going to make it. And so you could kind of see your pace. You know, I've got 3 kilometers to go and how fast I'm going to run. So as I began, my legs began to strain. But at the same time, as I felt this in my body, I knew I'd put in the training. I knew I'd already run that distance previously, so it wasn't like it was impossible. I've already done it. I knew I'd put in the right training technically and prepared myself for this race. So as I passed 2 kilometers to go, 1 kilometer to go, just 1 foot after the other foot, I must be close now and realize, I just only ran 100 meters. Oh, keep going. In the end, I crossed the finish line with a big smile on my face. I looked down at my watch. And I had finished in 1 hour and 58 minutes. 2 minutes under 2 hours. So I was extremely happy with this accomplishment. One of my favorite leadership authors is a guy named John Maxwell. And he said, leadership develops daily, not in a day. Leadership develops daily, not in a day. And that's why leaders must be learners. Topic of this, leaders must be learners, because as leaders you need to build capacity, and you can't just come to today and that's it. And now you're going to go out and lead. You're going to run a half marathon of leadership. No, you got to put in the training every day. Weekly, regular training. Regular training. There's another famous leadership person named Jeff Lockhart who says, what you give time to is what you truly value. So if you value leadership, take a look at your time. How much time do you give to learning as a leader? And if you don't give any time to growing as a leader or learning, then you don't really value it. It's not really that important. So giving time will show this. So pick one area. Just pick one of these things from today and make a plan to move ahead. Do something about it. Now, one class kind of note about this whole thing. I think it's beautiful when we look at Jesus as a model of a virtuous leader, because all of these can connect in our relationship with Christ. First of all, when we step out and lead in ministry opportunities, lead a small group, step up and lead in our parish, et cetera, it puts us in a position to need to lead, and we can look and ask the Lord to help us, the Holy Spirit to guide us in that leadership. There's a lot we can learn through the Holy Spirit's help in our direct experience. But secondly, wise counsel. If you want to think about someone to interview or talk about, why not interview Jesus? You know, pray and say, Lord, you know, you're one of the greatest leaders in the world, the greatest leader. So show me how I can be a better leader. Show me through prayer how I can be a better leader. And lastly, study. We have the scriptures. We have the catechism that speaks about virtue. And we can grow by studying the Word of God and all the richness that we have within our Catholic tradition. So we've got all this access to us. Fundamentally, leaders, being a leader is being a protagonist. Being the leading character, you know, in this action. And as I mentioned, everybody wins when a leader gets better. So if we want to be world changers, we have to be prepared. We need to prepare ourselves to be world changers. The last thing I'm going to say to kind of finish this off is on my high school gymnasium, there was a quotation written on the wall. It was from one of our former governor generals, who was actually a very faithful Catholic. He said, tell me the character of a nation's young people, and I will tell you the future of that nation. So tell me the character of a nation's young people, and I will tell you the future of that nation. So the future of this nation, I believe, is in good hands with all of you who are here. But as you grow your character, as you grow your leadership abilities, and you teach others and bring others in and form other leaders for the faith, and for our contemporary culture, to meet the contemporary culture, to be leaders in the church and in our society. That's the call of the baptized, call of the laity. Then truly, truly, you will see a renewal in your country. And you will be a strong nation. So leaders must be learners. Go out there and learn. Thanks very much, guys.